And welcome back to the Hobo Thing a podcast. My name is Crystal Savino, and I am the training and development specialist for the Native Learning Center. I'm thrilled y'all could join us once again, and I hope you guys are staying healthy, happy, and at home during this COVID-19 pandemic. It's very important that you do. But aside from that, I'd like to let you guys know who our special guests are today. So,
Wilma. Hi, I'm Wilma Noah. I am the Training and Development Specialist at the Native Learning Center. I'm glad you could join us today. And today's guest with us.
Oh, hi. This is Vince. I'm a colleague of Crystal and Wilma. I am the Compliance and Resource Development Director for the Native Learning Center, and very, very happy to be here.
Once again, because this is part of a series, right, Vince? You've been doing these.
It is. It goes way back to when we first started doing the original, the very first. I was fortunate enough, I think, to do the very first podcast.
Yeah.
And so really, when you take a look at it, this is the fifth podcast that I've been the guest speaker related to updates to the Super Circular.
Right. So we're happy to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So the topic for today, ladies and gentlemen, people of our podcast world, we are discussing
steps to safeguard protected personally identifiable information, also known as PII, for federal grant awards.
Thank you, Vince. Look at that. Mm-hmm. He's a pro.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's a very, very important part of the federal regulations, if I can go ahead and just start talking about it.
Yeah.
Because all of the tribal entities out in Indian country, or tribally determined entities like TDHEs, those of us that have federal funding know that we have to abide by the regulations that are contained in the Super Circular, the 2 CFR Part 200 Uniform Guidance. And buried within the 2 CFR 200 is, or Super Circular, I'm just going to call it the Super Circular. It's kind of semantic. Sometimes I call it the Super Circular. Sometimes I call it the Uniform Guidance. Sometimes I give it its full name, 2 CFR Part 200. But I'm just, for purposes of the podcast today, I'm just going to refer to it as the Super Circular. But buried in there is a very important clause on personally identified information. This is becoming, this whole issue of personally identified information, or PII as the acronym is referred to, is becoming more and more of a prevalent discussion. And that's because there's been, over the years, there's been issues of fraud and abuse within the system, within the federal funding system. And this is just another measure of trying to tighten up the reins on making sure that this type of information is protected. So what I'm going to be referring to for the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about the Super Circular itself and where PII is contained in it and what that's all about. And then I'm going to talk about what is personally identifiable information or data, and then talk about three steps very, very briefly. One, discover where PII can be found within our organization, and that's going to differ depending upon the type of organization we are. And secondly, how to educate our staff about the risk of being able to protect that information. And thirdly, to wrap things up, establishing a process, monitor activities, and to take action. So those are the five talking points that I have, and I'll move through them very, very quickly. So to go back up to the top of the list here, to talk about accountability as described within the Super Circular, let me get a little compliant driven here and talk specifically about the Super Circular. Within it, there is a section within subpart C, and specifically it's 2 CFR Part 200.303, and it's called Internal Controls. And internal controls is just as it sounds. Every organization's got to have internal controls that oversee the operation of the program and also the financial activities. Talking about financial activities, that's a whole nother podcast. Today, we're just going to talk about the operational side. So it's 200.303 internal controls as it relates to the operation of our program while receiving federal funding. There are four major components of internal controls. One, establishing and monitoring effective controls. That's a given. You've got to have controls, and they've got to be monitored, and they've got to be enforced. Secondly, complying with all the appropriate laws that are out there within the state or the nation or the municipality or the tribal entity, the regulations also, and the statutes that might be out there, statutes such as NAHASDA. That's a statute. That's a legislative act. So that's referred to as a statute. The third thing is taking action when there's noncompliance. That's important. You can have the best policies and procedures and internal controls in place, but if you don't take action, if you don't enforce them, then really they have no effect. They have no teeth. So you've got to be able to not only have internal controls, but to put them in place and to take action where needed to make sure that there are no noncompliance issues. And lastly, in that area, 200.303 internal controls, the last one is take reasonable measures to safeguard PII, or protect personally identifiable information. So we know we've got to have internal controls in place, but what is PII? What are personally identified information? And that's going to differ. So let me just give you some scenarios very quickly of what PII could be. First of all, it's going to be your name, your first name, and your last name, which isn't necessarily protected information. But it's when you start combining that for your first and last name of a client or a customer or a vendor, it's when you start combining first and last name with these other things, then you get into the realm of protected information. So imagine you've got a system set up, maybe it's in your housing department, for example, where you've got name, first name, and last name, but you combine it with any of these other identifiable items. A social security number would be one. A passport number would be another. Credit card numbers, bank account numbers, for example. A birth date, a place of birth, mother's maiden name, marital status, gender, educational transcript information. And these days, another way where we've identified the personal identifiable information is when we start matching first and last name with biometrics. And biometrics could be information attained from fingerprint scans, from retina or eye scans, from facial recognition, and for those of our friends that are in healthcare, from possibly from DNA data. Also for information that's contained in research, criminal background, or medical background or history, or financial records. All of those scenarios, all of those areas contain information that's private to the individual or individuals. When you match that up with first name and last name, now you're getting into the realm of personally identified information. So there's all kinds of different things. So depending upon the tribal entity, depending upon the type of information that you're gathering, you could be moving into the realm of PII. So you've got to have mechanisms in place. According to the super circular, you've got to have internal controls where you've taken reasonable measures to protect that information, to keep it isolated, to eyes only, as they say. You've got to have policies and procedures in place that identify this information and segregate it. So we've talked a little bit about what is personally identified information. The other thing I want to talk about, step one, is discover where PII can be found. Well, I've given you a short list of the different things that could be classified as personally identified information. Now that information has to be stored either in hard copy or electronically, depending upon what your needs are, but it has to be segregated from all other information and it has to be protected. You got to have policies and procedures in place that limit the amount of access to that information and to protect it. And it has to be in writing. And the other thing you need to do is step two is you need to educate your staff or others that what this information is and why it's important and why it needs to be segregated and why it needs to have limited access and limited ability and used very, very carefully and what steps are in place to protect it. And that's the role of the compliance director, compliance manager, whomever, who's responsible for collecting that information, making sure that policies and procedures are in place, that everyone understands what that information is and where it's kept and how sacred it is, basically, to the operation of the program. And thirdly, establishing a process to monitor activities and to take action. As I said before, you've got to have policies and procedures in place, but they don't add to a a hill of beans if you're not doing anything, if you're not enforcing them. So you've got to have procedures in place that protect the information. And that list that I gave you, the social security number, the passport, credit card numbers, bank accounts, birth date, maiden name of mother, and all of those kind of things that are common questions on applications. That's just a limited list. There's all kinds of other things that might be unique to your organization and to your operation that needs to be segregated and kept separate and with limited access, both hard copy and electronically. So those are just a quick overview, Wilma and Crystal, on what I wanted to get out to the public on the protection, the safeguards that need to be put in place, the importance of personally identified information, and also the importance of safeguarding that information to the best of our ability. As the super circular says, taking reasonable measures, that's a very important phrase, reasonable measures to protect that information, keep it segregated from other documents and other electronic information, and only allow that information to be put out there as needed and in accordance with your policies and procedures and internal controls. So that's my stand on the safeguarding of to protect personally identified information for your federal grants.
Great. You do a very good job on educating the staff at the Native Learning Center. I can say that.
Thank you, Wilma.
Okay, so is there anything else you'd like to close out this podcast with?
I would just like to say thank you for the opportunity, first of all, to be able to do this and to get this information out there. This particular podcast is very special to me because it's something that changes daily and we got to stay on top of these things. And I'm also very, very proud to be part of this podcast that's happening now. I don't know how many that we've put out over the past weeks and months, but it's a wonderful thing, and I'm very happy to be a part of it. If you have any other information or any questions that you may have on this issue, personally identified information, or on the super circular, the 2 CFR Part 200 Uniform Guidance, you can always reach out to me at the Native Learning Center at my email address, and that is my full name, and that's Vincent Franco, so VincentFranco, at semtribe.com, semtribe.com. You can email me at any time. That's the best way to get a hold of me rather than calling. Obviously, calling now is not going to work because we're all working remotely to the best of our ability, but even when we get back to the office, email is the best mechanism because I can access it at any time, anywhere, and give you the answer or help you find the answer that you're looking for if I don't know the answer immediately. So just wanted to get that out there, Wilma, to just share with everyone. Happy to be here. Thrilled to be able to present this important information throughout Indian country, and more than willing to help answer any questions that folks may have moving forward. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Vince. And if you'd like to reach me, you can contact me at my email address is Wilma, WILMANOAH at semtribe.com. That's semtribe.com.
Well, if you need to reach me, because you couldn't get a hold of Wilma or Vince, feel free to reach out to Crystal Cedino at semtribe.com. So it's going to be KRYSTALCEDENO at semtribe.com. So thanks, guys, for listening in. Thanks for staying home, if you're staying home. And we hope to connect with y'all super soon.
Take care.